Isn't it about time for a change?
We're our national leaders.
WorkersRadio.com. You're listening to American Workers Radio, a national network promoting American-made products with your host, Michael Blihash.
Well, welcome to another edition of American Workers Radio here on 860 AM. I'm pleased to welcome you to our broadcast family. And if you live in the Philadelphia and tri-state area, I urge you to go to your telephone right now and call a family member and friend, invite them to tune in on the radio. Now, if they're not in the tri-state area, no matter where they live, they can tune in by going to the front page of AmericanWorkersRadio.com and click on the Listen Live link. We will be sending out a rebroadcast of today's program. I just want to tell you, today has been a very interesting day. As I was coming in, we had our traffic stopped on Interstate I-95, and that was mainly so we would be able to welcome some of the distinguished people coming from Washington, Nancy Pelosi and the vice president and some of the other. But I wasn't very happy because I got stuck in the 50-minute traffic jam. But also, it really hurts commerce. When these people land in Philadelphia, they should be able to take a helicopter and go to the convention center. There's certainly enough space for them to do it there. Well, anyways, let me relax a second. Joining us today are Mark Andel, founder of the Made in America store, Larkin Connolly, the East Coast Vice President of SCORE, Rich Loges, principal of RJL Technology Integration, and our engineer is Henry Chaplinsky. I'm Michael Blihash, always happy to be with you here on our broadcast, and I thank you for tuning in. When I say we are making an enormous difference, you would not believe, as I talk to people who come to historic Philadelphia, who are coming in from the convention areas to visit Philadelphia, they have a lot to say. And movements like ours are certainly making an impact on them. Well, the Democratic Convention continues in the city of Philadelphia. Some of you have been watching it over the last 2 days. Today is Wednesday. It'll continue. And then tomorrow is the finale. I did my best to watch all of the conventions, the Republican and some of the Democratic Convention, too, equal amounts, to see what's really being discussed. And as we went on our broadcast, I talked with people in the last few days telling them about how important their vote is, not only to watch the campaign and look what's happening with the different candidates and all the speakers, but to be registered to vote and let's see what's really going to happen. But I'd like to go to our panel members. We're going to start off today with the very well-known Rich Loges. Rich, how are you doing?
Good morning, guys, and good morning to our listeners. Wow, Michael, where to begin? Well, let me begin, guys, with this point, if I may, for our listeners. And I want to say this, preface it by saying, with all due respect, if any of our listeners have found the DNC email leak to be eye-opening news to them, I want to let you know that those who have been paying attention for many years didn't find it newsworthy at all. So if you found it newsworthy and eye-opening, thank you for that. But what it means is that you haven't been paying attention to the right things over the last many, many years. That's not news, Larkin, what we saw. Larkin, is that news to you, what we saw?
No. You know, it was. It surprised me.
Why? Why did that surprise? But what specifically surprised you?
It's not the way the system's supposed to work. Additionally, what didn't surprise me is that in their attempt to divert attention from the situation, nobody is going to pay the piper. Nobody is going to resolve. They kind of just avoided the bad news, which is, you know, Bernie Sanders backed down, and he literally, in a fixed environment, got the could have, or potentially, had the election and the nomination stolen from him by the party stalwarts that the fix was in. I mean, we all knew Hillary was going to be the nominee. She really expected, and I think until probably 8 months ago, to run unopposed. There would be nobody on the Democratic side that would run against her. But, you know, Bernie did, and Bernie raised the same ire in a different way that Trump did, by appealing to the people who are disenfranchised and just sick and tired of the system not working. And when this started, the email started. I mean, they did. I don't know if it's illegal to break the rules of the Democratic Party, but the fix was in. This is no more a Democratic nomination, than an election in Bolivia. I mean, this is the craziest thing I've ever seen in my life. I mean, she was anointed. It was a coronation, not a convention.
Do you guys remember a few months ago when I said the fix is in? You guys remember that?
I do.
Do our listeners remember that? See, I don't like Larkin. I don't like being right sometimes. I don't. I take no glee in this. I take no joy. It puts no money in my pocket. It wasn't surprising to me. In addition, what else wasn't surprising when we saw the communications back and forth about Hispanics, gays? This is not surprising. The Democratic Party, guys, for decades, and it's only been getting bigger and louder and stronger. The Democrats have had the loudest megaphones for decades. Schools, universities. Hollyweird, media, social media, entertainment, internet search engines. They've got it on lockdown. The stranglehold. Larkin, you'd mentioned before that they don't have markets cornered. I have to respectfully disagree with you. I think they got them cornered, and they're only getting stronger. And not since Reagan, now Larkin's going to like this next point, not since Reagan has the sheer and disgusting hypocrisy of the left been so front and center, not just because of the emails, but also because, Michael, of what happened on the Republican side. Everybody's got inconsistencies. All of us are flawed. All of us are imperfect. I sound like the local pastor on Sunday saying that stuff. I realize that. All of us do. But you want to talk about puke-inducing hypocrisy. You got it. You got it. It's the Democrats. They always have been, Larkin. They always have been. This isn't news. My opinion that I respectfully submit, Michael, to our
And I'll tell you, probably the people listening have been watching in disbelief and wondering, when are we going to hear the real bread and butter issues? Before I say a few words, Mark, how are you doing? I saw your text this morning of one of our Eva from our Philadelphia area is up there visiting your store. Special welcome to her from all of us here in the Philadelphia area. Mark, how is everything with you?
Good. You know, welcome, guys. Henry, Larkin, Rich, and Mike, and I'm glad to hear Rich and Larkin. Everybody's fired up. A lot going on. Mike, yeah, Eva was excellent. I was in a meeting, and she came walking back, and she had about three bags of goods, and she said, I just want to say hello, and I love your store, love your guys' show, and you do a great job. And aren't you supposed to be on that show right now? So she started to make – she worried for me, Mike, and she said, is it taped today? I said, no, I still have 5 minutes. But she was awesome. It was neat to see somebody that traveled so far, and I swear she had three, four bags of Made in America products. So, guys, she loves our show. She loves what we're doing, and it's nice to get some positive feedback. You know, I've watched Republican convention last week, 4 days. This week I'm watching a little more painful, but, you know, every day, every night, and following through. So, you know, I'm with it's just different. you know, if they would have passed out. I think there was a nice story told by Bill Clinton last night, if you know, but it was kind of like a bedroom story. You could pass out popcorn and everything. But, you know, so a lot going on. It's a historic year. We've talked about it right up until the day. Now it's going to start getting heated. But, you know, again, I know what we need, and we need change. So we gotta listen, and I just encourage everybody to listen and vote and make the correct decision.
Well said. Larkin, I want to tell you, I watched the convention as much as I could. I did have some visitors, and it's been a very busy week. And if they would only allow the people to drive normally, we would have a lot more people in front of the televisions watching the conventions. But there are so many blockages, especially from Center City, and none of us understand what it's about until they announce today that it's because we're welcoming some special dignitaries from Washington. You have to have your expressway closed for an hour. But ladies and gentlemen, once the conventions are over, I'm going to ask our panel members to really discuss the bread and butter issue for all of you. What's really the plan for America? What's the plan to get working age and able-bodied Americans back into the workforce so that money, our money, is circulating in the hands of people, in the wallets of people, not putting our money and our head on the chopping block and rising our debt service up to over $19.4 trillion. I believe, and I'm going to ask us to focus a little bit on this today, I believe that it's totally time for the American people and America's leaders to reinvest in America and in Americans. What do I mean by that? I've been watching these conventions, and they're all talking. It's all back, you know, back, patting on the back, and this one, and this one, and this one. We have to rechange America's society. We have to have everybody contribute to our present and our future society. Number one, our schools really need to be revamped. Our youth has to be prepared to go out and be ready for the workforce upon graduation. Working age and able-bodied Americans, totally employed, no dancing around about it. And also our seniors should be able to sit back and relax after many years of quality work and be rewarded with their Social Security and whatever other benefits are available to them. This is not being discussed at these conventions. We're talking, we're going to give this away, we're going to give that away. I'm waiting for bags of money to come from heaven or hell to fill in the gap.
You know, and listening, I think the First Lady was on Monday, and then Bernie, you know, even when Bernie had talked, bringing up the poverty, we got to get rid of poverty in America, we got to raise that minimum wage. And, you know, I think I joked, Rich, to you that, you know, I'm going to go in tomorrow and raise everybody to $60,000 salary, and I'm just going to double all the invoices I have for all my customers' jobs, and they'll understand. My point is we have to have somebody that understands business. They can't be saying things that just would not work out in the world. I just had a meeting with a lady that opened an America Canada store in Ellicottville, real close. Her name's Liz. We're going to get her on the show possibly next week. She's having trouble running her business because of the economy. Ellicottville didn't have snow. And how tough it is. Larkin, you'd love the story because she just started. She went into business last September. She's having troubles. We're going to help her with a store-in-store concept and help her manage her inventory. But to me, when I'm listening, these people just don't understand how tough the economy is, how tough it is to run a business. And, Mike, you're right. They're not hitting on the topics I need help with, we need changing.
Right. Every portion of society, Mark. From when you were a kid, Larkin, when you were a kid, when I was a kid, Rich, when you were a kid, every person in society was expected to contribute to society, not look for Uncle Sam.
Not handouts,
not look for Uncle Sam, but what is your talent? When people come in and talk to me and they say, I have this and I have that and I have a degree in this and that, and I say, but what can you really do tomorrow if an employer is available? And unfortunately, they have no hands-on skills. That's what these people should be up there talking about. I am a person who needs hands-on skills, not about the crime rate. Yes, talk about that. A few people, but not go on and on. It's all this drivel. And it's not only the Democrats. The Republicans did it, too. They wasted many opportunities to speak up in behalf of the American people and the society of America in America that's been really downgraded as a result of the loss of jobs. Tell me, Mark and Larkin, what you think.
Well, Michael, we had two different conventions. Again, I don't aspire to either one. They both made me equally sick. The Republicans said, everything's wrong. We've got to fix this. This is wrong. That is wrong. This is wrong. That is wrong. Everything was wrong. Last night, the Democrats told me that there's nothing broken. We're as good now as we've ever been. We're as strong now as we've ever been. We're still the best, the greatest country in the world. I got news for you. If we are the greatest country in the world, it's because of our military might. You take our military away, and we're just another worm. We're 36th in math. We're 42nd in science. We have a graduation rate that's almost embarrassing from high school. We have a very, very wealthy class, no middle class, and very, very poor people. Last night after I heard and I watched all of that, I thought, this really is making me, I've kind of got to get my head on. So I went into YouTube, and I looked up my buddy George Carlin, and I watched George Carlin for 40 minutes. And I went to bed with a grin on my face going, now I know what needs to be fixed. Now I know what's wrong. I know what's wrong and how we're going to fix it. But, listening to the vitriolic discussion and talk of the Republican side, Donald Trump, sorry about that, and the Democratic side, Hillary Clinton, who just can't avoid trust. She can't avoid it. Every time she turns around, something that is not cricket, something that is not right is being done by either her or the people around her. And for her to sit there and tell a reporter that she had no idea that these emails were going out on the DNC server is the biggest lie I've ever heard in my life.
Well, Larkin,
can I make a point?
Yes, go ahead, Rich.
Can I make a point? Couple things. And I said it before, and I'm just going to say this point again. Forgive the repetition. Hillary Clinton lies the way a serial killer kills. It is a normal behavior. There's no cognitive buffer. There's no red flag that cerebrally goes off in her mind. And let me tell you, Michael, my summary thus far of the DNC convention. My summary thus far is listening to celebrities with inverted Panamanian tax-free interest-bearing bank accounts surrounded by armed bodyguards living in gated communities with tall walls lectured you and all of us on how America is already great, except for all the racism, bigotry, homophobia, Islamophobia, xenophobia, income inequality, gun violence, lack of diversity, and misogyny. Other than those things, we're doing damn great.
Yeah, you're right.
Other than those things, and I have one other thing that I want to say, guys, excuse me. As a soon-to-be parent, I might be doing American Workers Radio from the maternity ward in the next few weeks because we're getting near that time.
I love it.
We're right there. Okay, we are right there. Okay, hey guys, how you doing? Did you see that convention? Push, honey, push.
Well, here in the background.
I gotta say this. Last night I saw the mothers, Michael Brown, Trayvon Martin. As a soon-to-be parent, I understand that they lost a child. But I want to ask, the president is in Philadelphia today. And Mr. President, I have a question for you. Would you and Michelle have hired Mike Brown to watch your kids? Secretary Clinton, Mr. President, President Bill Clinton, would you have hired Mike Brown to watch your child? Would you have? Would you have hired him? Whether or not George Zimmerman was racist or not, frankly, I don't care. Let me tell you what I do care about, though. I do care about not having to have the fear of facing prosecution for defending myself and my family. Right, Mark? Right, Mark?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay. Just want to make that point. Sorry, Larkin. Go ahead.
Now, you know, the problem I have with parading the mothers by is they're after the female vote and they're after the African-American vote, obviously. My problem is it's a problem. I agree. It's one of the most serious problems we have. It affects all of society. It is a social issue that we face. But, boy, if you're trying to tell me this is a one-way street, which is what the Democrats tried to tell me last night, you've got it so wrong that I don't even want to hear what your fix is. This is a two-way street. I would have very much appreciated if they would have had one of the policemen from Dallas's wife or mother on to speak on his behalf, or one of the policemen that were ambushed in Queens.
Or Larkin, we had five police killed in Philadelphia in the last few years.
Michael, Larkin.
They could have all been presented, and they wouldn't have any travel problems or anything.
Listen, we have a problem, and the problem comes from both directions, and it has to be fixed. All I'm saying to you is my father, if he would have viewed me as any one of those guys were viewed, except the guy that was sitting in the front seat of the car that supposedly went for his wallet, that might have been a little trigger happy. But any one of the other ones, my father would have brought me home and beat the living daylights out of me for resisting arrest. You don't.
Yes, not obeying the officer. I mean, if you want to have no trouble, you obey and cut the tension right away.
Michael, Black Lives Matter.
I agree.
Was formed after the lie of hands up, don't shoot from Ferguson. How big of a lie was it? Do our listeners know that President Obama spent $200 million in a Department of Justice investigation of Ferguson to tell us what we all already knew, that hands up, don't shoot is false? Did you guys know that?
Yes, I heard that.
Did you guys know that the Department of Justice spent a fifth of $1 billion to investigate hands up, don't shoot? And determined.
Because they've investigated that, Rich, because they hoped that it would turn out the other way. And when they didn't get what they wanted, they had to report the results. That's the bottom line.
Yep.
The money was spent and the money was wasted.
I'm not taking either side, the cops or the perpetrators or the people that were shot and killed. It's a problem. We have an issue. Fix the issue. But you don't fix the issue by parading nothing but one side.
Okay, Larkin.
Fully as bad if they would have
okay, but Larkin, what do the Democrats say fix the issue of? Tell me if I'm correct on this, Larkin. Tell me if I'm correct. What do the Democrats say? More jobs, less poverty in the neighborhoods, less of this, more of that. I want you guys, and I challenge you guys, and I challenge every listener of this show to find me a predominantly progressive city in this country that is not either incredibly expensive and affluent and exclusive, or isn't depressed, downtrodden, full of drugs, full of violence, full of guns, and full of lead in their water. I challenge you to find me one of them. You're not gonna.
Well, I don't question that. But all I'm saying is, our problems are gonna take collaboration. They're going to take each side meeting in the middle and trying to figure out what's the best resolve of a social issue that we have.
And yes, and Larkin, you're right. And Rich and Mark, I just want to say
Larkin,
this.
And Larkin, I know where you're going with it. Excuse me, Michael. Larkin, I know where you're going, and it's a point you brought up before. And I want to tell you, you're right about this. You talk about the breakdown of the family. Where were these people's parents, man? Where were you?
You know, I would have liked to see 50%. I'm a 50% person all the way. I'd like to see 50% of that convention bringing people to the microphone to say, I'm unemployed. If our election would focus on employment, maybe our country would be better. Maybe we would have less crime because people have a job. I'd like to hear the convention delegates who pay their own way to get there. People think that they're fully paid. They're not. They raise their own money. They pay their own transportation, and they get there on their own. So they're there to hear things that are going to include building up their party. Well, jobs is the most important thing, and yet no one has really spoken about jobs and what jobs would do to reduce crime, reduce all sorts of illiteracy, reduce poverty, reduce the need for food stamps. None of that is being discussed. They're talking about how much more we will attack Uncle Sam to give us. Well, as you said many times, Rich, Uncle Sam is us, we the taxpayers. They should be parading people up there saying, if I had a job, I could raise my children better. They would have a future for their own if they got a better education. We would not have to be on subsidies. We would not have to be on food stamps. But none of that is being discussed. It's like Uncle Sam, this invisible man from the sky. Woo!
Hey, Mike.
So,
go ahead, Larkin.
Yes.
Go ahead, Larkin.
I was just going to say, because of the conventions and because of everything that's going on, the current administration snuck another one by us that I think is going to have overwhelming effect on small businesses and, well, for that matter, mid-sized businesses and for the employee around the world, around our country. And that is, they made a major change to the FLSA, Fair Labor Standards Act, which is fundamentally the overtime bill. It does an awful lot more now, but FLSA was originally passed to create a minimum wage and overtime. So they affected the executive exemption. If nobody knows what that is, it says that if you give management responsibilities to an individual, you can pay them a salary and expect them to complete their work in a week's time. They took that from somewhere in the just short of $30,000 a year, which is somewhere around $650 a week, and they took it up to over $40,000 effective this December 1st. Effective this December 1st. So I said to somebody very close to me who was in the payroll business, this isn't going to affect that many, though. How many executive exempt? And she said, are you kidding? There's not a company that we service that isn't considering this a major effect on the way they do business. So if you make over $40,000, you make $1,000 a week, up to a 40, I think 42, I don't even remember the exact number, but it's well over 40,000 bucks, 800 bucks a week. If you work 41 hours, you have to divide that 800 by 40 and multiply it by a time and a half, and that employee gets overtime. That manager that's making $40,000, 40, 39, 5 a week gets overtime.
Larkin, is that in effect now for December?
It takes December 1st, 19th.
Wow.
December 1st, 2016. Huge. And it's enormous.
Well, what that's going to do is just discourage more employers from bringing on people. They'll cut back what they're offering and not want to expand. They won't want to move forward.
You just can't make that kind of change. And it was only announced 4 months ago, 3 or 4 months ago.
And then, Larkin, this is because the people making those rules and regs are pampered people, just like this motorcade this morning, blocked tens of thousands of cars for 50 minutes because they're rock stars. They want to come in with no traffic. Everybody else wait for us to get in there, Pelosi and Biden and all these other ones. This is insane. You don't do that to commerce. As I said earlier, they could take a helicopter. Why aren't they outlining at this convention what they're going to do to reduce the corporate taxes. Why aren't they outlining what the Democrats are going to do? The Republicans should have did it as well. What are they going to do to make sure that the businesses have more money in their pockets to employ more people?
Michael, you're asking that question, and I'm trying to figure out if you're asking it rhetorically. Why aren't they? Because they... You know why
they have
not.
No business experience.
You know why they're not.
These
okay?
old pampered why. Horses, I'm trying to put them all out to pasture.
Michael, it doesn't matter. Don't you guys get it? It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. You're right.
Because these people who are parading out there on the Democratic side, they're going to vote for Clinton, like I've said on this show for years, no matter what, Mark. No
and you know what,
matter
Rich
what?
We're all riled up with both conventions. Both conventions have been missing the bullseye, as far as I'm concerned. They should have had the opportunity to educate us, not tell us about how wonderful. We're not electing a rock star. We're not electing a king or a queen. We're electing a person who can call all 50 governors to the Capitol and say, what are we going to do to help increase America's economy? They can call all 2,000 mayors from the cities and boroughs across America, call them to the Capitol and say, what are we going to do to help bring more industries back? What are they going to do to bring the city councils from all over the United States of America to conventions and saying, what are we going to do to bring America to where it should be? So
guys,
that our people are part of a positive society,
guys,
not a society going down. Yes, Mark.
Way back when I said, you know, we want a qualified business leader. We want term limits and a report card. We all agree it's a 30-year mistake, especially on the manufacturing side, made in America products. But, Larkin, to your point, you know, when they're talking last night on the 8 years, you know, if I called in the report card, I deal with a lot of shows across the country. We did 100 shows in 6 years, but I deal with the carnies that run the big fairs and whatnot. We had a guy just tell us 36 shows he did. The economy's down about 20% he's seeing. And when the economy's down at the shows, that means people are laid off, people aren't spending money. You know, if the report card, they're talking about the things they're going to do and change, but they've had 8 years, and they haven't done it. I think that's a major call-in. I mean, we got to call them on that 8 years. We agree it's 30 years to get with the manufacturing made in America issues we've got in the country, but the past 8 years, there has not been change in my life running a business.
Well, you're 100% right, Mark, and I think it's very. I think even the leader of this administration would admit that
just
his focus
honest.
Over the last 8 years has been social. It's improving the social status for all Americans, trying to lift all Americans up. But at the same time, nothing's really happened in that arena either. I mean, you know, Obama's complained that. You know, Senate won't let me do anything. Congress won't pass anything. I can't get anything off of the Hill. Oh, wait a minute. You had the House and the Senate for the first 2 years of your first administration, and you did virtually nothing.
Larkin, you're right, and let me just add this in, and I'll go right back to you, Mark. If anything, this was an opportunity for all of the speakers, all the elected officials, to come to this convention and say what they tried to do, what legislation was on the table, because the American people don't know what's going on. You and I hear little things, but the media has done a very poor job reporting on what's really happening in America. It's
Larkin,
all the fun and games.
Larkin, I just want to add, you're a top executive at SCORE, which I talk about every week, even this lady I met today. I might pass your number out. Sorry. But
that's okay.
You know, SCORE, in the last 8 years, if you were just honest, though, do you get business people that are starting up, the startups? We say every American house should have a garage. Starting a business is the toughest thing you did. I just talked to this lady that's 9 months in. She wants to maybe throw in a towel. We're going to help her with helping her manage her inventory. But can you honestly say people were calling you and telling you how great this health system is, how great times are, how the cost of business has been going down? There's incentives that inspire me every day. Larkin, honestly, have you seen that in 8 years?
No. No,
and, just honestly, you know, it,
mine as a SCORE RVP is not to comment politically. I am, and I hope everybody listening to me on the radio hears me critical of both sides. But no, it is not, and I repeat this very loudly, it is not a pro-small business environment. And now, and it hasn't been, well, listen, you can go back into some of the Bush administration. It wasn't
Absolutely.
Back then either. It's nobody in Washington, D.C. has a grip on what they've got this really great Swiss watch that runs. It's the best watch in the world. They tell me that every time they make a speech. We've got the best watch in the world. They have never taken the lens cover off. They've never taken the back off the watch. They have absolutely no clear idea of what drives this country. Socially,
they don't get it.
Economically, religiously, atheistically, they have no idea. They are so far out of touch. And Michael makes a good point. I'll never forget, as a 20-something, maybe I was in my early 30s, standing at City Line and Bala Cynwyd Avenue and watching, with two motorcycles in front and two motorcycles in the rear, Dick Nixon and Frank Rizzo drive right up City Line Avenue in a convertible, waving at people along the side of the road. Do I support either one of them? That's not my point. My point is that the president and the mayor of one of the biggest cities in America can get in a convertible and ride around back then. Now, we don't have a problem. We don't have a problem with security in this country. We're vetting everybody that's coming in as an immigrant. It's safe. Why are you worried? It's never been safer, Obama tells me, and yet he has to stop the traffic on 995 for an hour so he can get his secure detail to the convention. I mean, excuse me, how ignorant and stupid are the Americans at this point?
Larkin, you know what I really, as I was talking with many of the tourists in the last few days, everybody says that America has changed greatly since 9/11, that people are very edgy. No one's concerned about anything. They're like in their own little world. That's why I said earlier in today's program, it's really time for us to totally reinvest in America and Americans. If we don't do it now, it's just going to go on and on and on. Just like that, the speakers of the at the convention, they all went up and they had their 10 minutes of talking, but did they really say anything that's going to help America? They're going to help their own people, the people from their individual states, the people that are, you know, actors, actresses, welders, plumbers. Did we hear any of that? No. We heard all niceties.
Michael.
We heard hours of niceties, and we heard the Trumps get up and talk how their father is wonderful and all. But couldn't they have said, yes, and my father is wonderful, and that's why he's going to work to get corporate taxes down, just like he wants to enjoy corporate taxes through his, you know, businesses. Why couldn't they talk about that? The American people are finally looking for a leader. Political leaders can say anything, and that's what they've been doing for years. But the American people haven't been questioning them, having been putting a fire to them, and now that's what we have.
Michael, can I make a point on that? And Larkin, I'll defer to you on this if you think otherwise. But I don't remember a time when all of our problems in our great country have been so at the forefront. And what's going to be answered in November as a start, not the end, as a start, is whether the useful idiot inmates are truly running the asylum or not, if they finally got the stranglehold. See, guys, we are not impervious. Our country is not impervious to these kinds of problems that we're facing. Rigged primaries, cronyism, the dark side of free enterprise. These are not unique in and of themselves. But our founders understood something so important. that they understood that the death of the Republic was more likely to come from within than from abroad. Never before that I ever remember being politically active for the last almost 20 years do I remember a time when it was so at the forefront, these problems. And the problem that the Republican Party has had, guys, over the last many years, Larkin says lack of leadership. I fully concur with this point. But they have thought that they could go in front of the country and fight the Democrats who have these incredibly loud, drowning megaphones and go in front of the country and say family values and the Constitution and Christianity. Larkin, this ain't the 80s anymore. It's not. And to credit Trump about this point, he's understood that the way that you take on the Democrats is you have to out-megaphone them. The progressive media in this country has every useful idiot thinking that their neighbors are Christian occultists who bring bazookas to their local KKK meeting. And Donald Trump, who I'm not, listen, I don't get paid to support him. I've had dealings with Donald Trump when I was a journalist, not about politics. Donald Trump has been in the public's eye for three decades. It's only when he ran against a Democrat that he was called racist.
Well, you know, Donald Trump is doing what he's doing. He's running his campaign the way he's running it. I am not crazy about the way Elizabeth Warren's politics are. I really aren't. She's a little too far left for me, and that's fine. But I respect the woman, and I think she's a good politician. Okay. I don't dislike her. But why would somebody running for president stand up and call her Pocahontas? What's the sense in that? It's just silly. It's just absolutely silly. She's a legitimate member of the Senate. Not even been in there that long that you could, you know, throw the term limits thing on her. But, you know, she represents one side. She's over there with Tip O'Neill and Ted Kennedy, and that's fine. These were great historic people who did much for this country. And when I see Elizabeth Warren, I don't start booing. I mean, why this vitriolic hatred for each other? I mean, it makes no sense to me.
Larkin, I agree with you, and I think reasonable people honestly agree with you. And I don't like the fact that the politics have become that. And I'm not excusing it. But what I am saying is that there is no way to have a chance to beat them unless you can try to out-megaphone them. And that is because over the last many, many of decades, the Democratic Party has driven a wedge into everything. Everything is viewed through the lens of race, of religion, of ethnicity, of non-religion, of your sexual lifestyle, of gay. Everything has been driven by that. And it's why, and I'm not excusing the actions and ignorance of people, but do not underestimate the power of media. They got everybody at each other's throats. Do you guys see that? They've got everyone at each other's throats. And that's because they've infested everywhere the youth are, everywhere Adam's peers are, and all of the mainstream sources of information. And it's also why I suspect, Larkin, some of the Republicans, again, not excusing it, but I also suspect that this is part of the reason why there is so much silence by Republicans, because some of them know what the repercussions are of speaking out. You risk, if you're not a politician, Michael, you risk a loss of employment. You risk losing business. You risk a lot of things. If you're a politician, you risk this, you risk that. I'm not letting them off the hook. But what I'm saying is it's like an Americanized version of Stalinism, where you're afraid to say something for fear of repercussion. Stalinism, Michael, your family would know from Poland, was so great. My wife would know, her family was so great that it had to be implemented by force.
Right, right.
That's how good it was. Every collective, everywhere that collectivist utopia was peddled around the world in world history, it ended horrifically. And this country, Larkin, and you know I'm right what I'm going to say, this country has always been the main prize for the worldwide collectivists. It's always been the main prize. This is it. This is the one that they've always wanted. But because of the strength of Americans, of our military, as you pointed out, we've been able to thwart the full takeover of it. Well, I got news for you guys. There's one thing left. There's one thing left for the Democrats, and that's the courts, where they're already halfway in. And if they get the courts, God help this country.
Now, Rich,
God help this country.
Now, Rich, I'm going to ask Mark this, because Mark is a man who would sit back and take all the conventions in. Mark, I'm going to ask you a question off the cuff. If I asked for you to give me an opinion on what you were enthused about as far as businesses are concerned from the Republican convention, what would you say?
You know, again, I watched it the 4 nights, just the hour prime time, and trying to stay up. You know, I believe they get it a little more. And the only thing I'll say, you know, with Donald Trump, that he's had business. And I think you have to be in business to understand business. You can go to school. I went to the startup a business course, but the teacher never ran a business. So I was afterward kind of, I'm not sure if he gets it. So I do think they understand business a little bit, but I didn't hear enough about what we need to fix to make business easier in this country, especially for the startups and the youth, and to encourage the business and how important it is and how America was built on business.
So you're saying that they left you after 4 days with no real answers to what you're looking for to help all the people that you know and to help businesses across America.
Yes, true. Other than I knew Trump ran business, I didn't hear what I needed to hear.
Okay. Rich, did you feel that the Republicans did a good job with their conventions regarding business?
Do I think they did a good job? Overall, Michael, I don't think they did bad.
But did they talk about businesses, jobs, what's going to turn the country around? Did they give details?
Look, here's the thing about that question, okay? It's not that I disagree with the premise of the question. But let's be honest about this as voters. Do we really vote that much on policy and wonkishness? I mean, Larkin, let me ask
Okay,
you.
Rich, I'm going to just say there. That is why we go to vote, not because they're rock stars, but because they have a better plan for the country where we live, the country where you want to have your daughter raised. My kids are, you know, have to have a future. My grandchild has to have a future. Mark, your children, future grandchildren. Larkin, the same thing. Henry has 4 kids. I'm looking out for all the young people, so that they have the proper education that they should have. No one in the Republican, and definitely I haven't heard it, also in the Democratic side. Plans.
Larkin,
I want plans.
Larkin pointed it out earlier. Larkin, you pointed this out earlier, and you're right. What is the thing that no matter how much, you know, Bill was up there last night, and, you know, Clinton wasn't the worst president ever, but no matter how much of that Clinton charm and how much he waxed poetic, you still can't change the fact that never before in the history of this country has someone so devoid of honesty and integrity run for national office. No matter how much of that Clinton charm comes through, right, no matter how much. If you don't have those things, Michael, what are we looking for? What did I say a few weeks ago when I asked, where are the 301 Republicans? That's a courage issue. What's Clinton's issue? Clinton's issue is that it's the same issue now that it's always been, which is a trust and honesty and integrity issue.
Well, you know, you're right, Rich. You're absolutely right. And Clinton should have used half of his time to talk about Hillary and use the other half to talk about his accomplishments, why America's economy was better when he was president. In other words, they're talking rock starism, not facts and figures that will add to the future of the American people or our businesses.
Michael, the you say that people go to the polls to vote for policy and direction.
They should. They should.
Oh, okay. Well,
not that they do. They go because it's just an election. I feel I have to. I'm obligated as this or that, and this one looks good, and that one sounds good, and I'll vote for this one. No, people are not educated to the door of the voting booth.
Do you know the number of people in the city of Philadelphia, a city that I love dearly and miss with all the weight of my heart? Do you know that what percentage of the 50% for a presidential election, 50 to 60%, what percentage of that 60% come out and vote what they're told to vote?
Right.
Vote their union, vote their church, vote their party affiliation.
Larkin, I've had people discuss with me, discuss that they had to go in and vote against their conscience because they feel that somebody, when they write their name on the list, your number 19 or 20, that person can know exactly how number 19 or 20 on the signature list voted. I said, that's not possible. They don't open that machine till the very end. Vote what the way you feel. I don't tell a person to vote this way or that way, but be prepared to vote. We are seeing the biggest political time in America's history. The politicians can tell us anything. We can't believe everything they say. We want to see plans in writing. When somebody gives me a proposal, I know where I'm going. If they tell me something, I wake up the next morning, I may have forgot half of what they said. But if it's in writing, I can look at it, review it, and then know exactly, grasp it better. But they're not doing that. It's all this clapping and cheering and signs and the people who manage the floor giving out the signs. We love this one. We love that one. There's no signs talking about how are we going to improve America's educational system so our young people have a trade, so our businesses can call upon skilled people to fill those jobs, so we take away all the problems that they complained about for years. Corporate greed took the jobs out of our country. Why did they do that? Why did they take them out of our country? We don't ask those questions, so the politicians keep babbling off, and who's going to fork over the money for the years to come for all these programs? There's not going to be any money in the Treasury. In 10 years, we went up $10 trillion. Right now, for the record, I have to tell you this, and you will hear it on my Saturday commentary. Right now, in 1976, America had $450 billion in a deficit, which equals out to, based upon the population, $200 per person if we all had to pay up, fork the money over to Uncle Sam. Right now, 40 years later, we are now in debt for $19.4 trillion, which equals out to $60,000 for every American person living in the USA. How did we get to this point? And you can check my records by going to the site that is up there by the United States government. Go on the front page of AmericanWorkersRadio.com and click on the U.S. debt clock. Every one of you listening, all of us here in the studio, and all of you, Lark and Rich and Mark, all of your kids, your wife, all of your family, you're in $60,000 per person to pay down America's debt. That's why I'm screaming and yelling at everybody that we have to make change in this country or the ship is ready to sink. Like Khrushchev said, I remember reading that a few months ago. I don't remember the exact quote, but he said something like, we don't have to take America down. America will take itself down. Do you remember that, Larkin?
Well, I remember a lot of people making threats against the United States, and as long as we have the strongest military, we're going to be the best place in the world. As long as there's still more people trying to break in the door and come into the country than there are trying to get out of the country,
But if they don't have a job, what are they going to do when they get here?
Well, it doesn't make any difference.
Somebody breaks into your house, Larkin. How are you going to feed them? How are you going to, you know, clothe them? If they don't have a job, that's our purpose, is to see how we can get the job situation back and then welcome everybody to come.
No.
Like we did in 100 years ago, the American government sent out invitations all over the world, come and be part of America's Industrial Revolution. There's no Industrial Revolution in America. It's all over the world but America. And with that, I'm going to ask all of you for some closing remarks. We'll start off today with Mark.
Yeah, guys, great show today. And again, our store in store, Mike, how we're going to get jobs back is put a Made in America store in store in every store in the country, a section that's 100% Made in America. So they never forget what they did over 30 years.
Yeah, we got to get it back.
Have a great week, guys.
Thank you so much for your participation. And Larkin, your closing remarks today.
Well, it's quite the conundrum that this country finds itself in right now. And I'm hoping that the voting, the American, everybody eligible to vote, takes a look at issues rather than their own personal life. And you know, it's not what your government can do for you. It's what you can do for your government. And if we don't get back to that pretty quickly,
we're going to be in difficult times. Remember, we have to work so that we change America's society for the present. We have to reinvest in America. Yes, Rich.
Hey, look, Michael, people can accept what they're seeing, or they can get out and do something about it, and voting is the first start to getting out and doing something about it.
November the 8th is the day. Mark that on your calendar. I'm depending on hearing things in the media like, wow, there was an unbelievable outcome of people. I'm not telling you how to vote, but be prepared to vote. You can go on the front page of American Workers Radio and click on the register to vote link, which goes to all 50 states. Ladies and gentlemen, thanks for tuning in. Thanks for spreading the word. We'll have a rebroadcast of today's show up on the air in a few hours. Thank you, Henry, for your outstanding efforts. Thank you, Rich, Larkin, and Mark. I'm Michael Blihash. Until Saturday at 11, best wishes. Spread the word. Make sure you check out the convention the next few days, because after that, we go into business mode and want to know exactly what the candidates are going to have to offer. Thanks.
Thanks, everyone.
Have a great week, guys.